All right, what happens when you've been praying, you've been fasting, you've been seeking the Lord, you've been interceding, and you've been expecting a door to open? Now, we're talking about perhaps a job promotion, a ministry opportunity, a door to open for your marriage to be reconciled, a door to open to bring a family member back, a prodigal son, a prodigal daughter that's went wayward. And you've been praying for breakthrough. You've been praying for that door to open, that opportunity to present itself. What happens when that door finally opens and you begin to rejoice for what the Lord has done, but you get caught off guard because you did not know this very principle that we're going to talk about today? Let's get after it.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, good evening, everyone. This is End Time Headlines. It is Friday, November the 15th. We are closing out another week of podcast, and tonight it is 8 p.m. Eastern. That means it's the equipping. It's the time to equip the saints. It's time to just do our devotional time. So we want to welcome everybody into the chat. If you guys are watching the rebroadcast, we welcome you too as well from Rumble or YouTube or wherever. Maybe you're coming from a different social media outlet. Maybe you're listening from Apple or Spotify. We welcome you as well. And before we even get started, guys, tonight, can all of you guys help us out? If you enjoy our content and you're watching the visual of this, you can help us by smashing that like button, hitting the bell notification, hit that subscribe button. This is going to help all of us. And you guys are listening by podcast. If you would just give us a good review, if this content is of any value to you and it's a blessing to you, you can help us out by hitting, again, by going and doing a review, giving us a good review, and that helps push us out on these algorithms as well. So again, just like we talked about the introduction of this, I want to just briefly, guys, I don't want to spend a lot of time tonight. Give me about 30 minutes. We're going to do about a 30-minute devotional tonight, but I believe it'll be a great blessing to you. Because this is something that I had to learn the hard way, because this was not instructed to me. This was not taught to me when I was a baby Christian. I was a babe in Christ. I was still on the milk of the word, and no one taught me this principle that I want to talk about tonight. And maybe you're watching or you're listening, and this is something that you already knew. Well, I mean, we hope tonight that this will just kind of, you know, if your blade's sharp, then we'll just sharpen your blade a little bit, because iron sharpens iron, okay? So hang in there with this. I promise it'll probably be a blessing to you regardless, because I know many of us guys, you know, as we mature in the Lord and we read the word and we rightfully divide the word, we're going to hear a message or some type of contextual sermon more than once. And you know what? We need to hear that more than once, because there's a lot of things that I've learned 10 years ago that will resurface. And I'm like, wow, that's a right now word. That's something I need right now. So you may not need, you know, it's kind of like you move from one location to another geographically. You may need a snow shovel in one place, but may not need it in another. But then you have to determine, okay, well, do I get rid of the snow shovel or do I keep it? And again, depending on your location, I know when we moved, when we lived in Indiana, we definitely needed a snow shovel. But now that we live here in Georgia, we've been here going on 5 years and I've never had to use a snow shovel. But I've heard from locals that there is times when there is a freak snowfall and you're going to wish you had a snow shovel, or you won't get out of your driveway. It's very rare, but it does happen. So what's the point? What am I making? What's the point here? The point is, you may not think that that certain messages that you hear are applicable to you. Well, you know, Brother Ricky, that's great. I'm glad you're talking about that, but that doesn't really pertain to me. I don't really need that. Well, you may not need it now, But it doesn't mean that you won't need it down the road. So if anything, just kind of put this on the shelf, put this in your toolbox, because one day you might need it. Okay. And I venture to say probably a lot sooner than later. So we're going to give you an introductional scripture here. Again, we're going to give you a scripture to kind of a foundational scripture that we're going to get into, and then we'll just kind of springboard from there. All right. This is for you guys that are watching by listening by podcast, we're in 1 Corinthians 16. I'm going to read a little bit of this, and then when I get to the key scripture, we'll definitely highlight that and we'll let you know. Now, this is the Apostle Paul writing to the church of Corinth, and he says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I've given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also." So he's given them instructions on giving here. "On the first day of the week," that would be on a Sunday, "let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. And when I come, whomever you approve by your letters, I will send to bear your gift to Jerusalem. But if it is fitting that I go also, they will go with me." So he's talking about taking up a collection for saints. The ecclesia of the church would come together every Sunday on the first day of the week, and they would all contribute. And then this collection would be taken up and would be distributed to those in need in the churches. And Paul was an apostle over these churches, so he would kind of oversee all of this, these matters that's going on here in the church. All right, let's go on down to verse 5. "Now I will come to you when I pass through Macedonia, for I am passing through Macedonia, and it may be that I will remain or even spend the winter with you, that you may send me on my journey wherever I go. For I do not wish to see you now on the way, but I hope to stay a while with you if the Lord permits." Now, pay attention to this. "But I will tarry in Ephesus until Pentecost." Now, here's why he's going to tarry in Ephesus until Pentecost. Ready? Verse 9. Look what he says here. This is heavy. This is a pretty powerful principle here. "For a great and effective door has opened unto me, and there are many adversaries." Now, I want to read this same verse. We're going to go up here. We're going to switch this to the King James. Let's go down here. Verse 9. "For a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries." All right. Now, let's go up here. We're just going to look at this from all these angles. Now, I want to read this from the New Living Translation. Verse 9, "There is a wide open door for a great work here, although many oppose me." Now, why, you say, "Brother Ricky, why are you giving us all these translations?" Because we want to give you the full picture and full scope of this verse. And because this is where we're going to plow. This is exactly where we're going to plow from. All right, this is the Amplified, so you may want to turn it up a little bit. Anyway, that's a joke. "Because a wide door for effective service has opened to me in Ephesus, a very promising opportunity." Now watch, "and there are many adversaries." So for the next few moments, guys, I want to minister a little bit on, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I want to minister on what to expect when the door opens that you've been praying about. Now, in the context of scripture here, in this, what we just read to you, the Apostle Paul is talking about, for him, this open door for him was an opportunity for him to spread the gospel in the city of Ephesus. So Paul said, this is a great opportunity. This is a great, and he uses the word effectual. This is a great effectual door that has opened unto me. And when I looked up the word effectual or effective door, it literally means it means a great door of opportunity. A great opportunity has presented itself. And so Paul addresses this in 1 Corinthians 16:9. All right. And here is what we need to figure. Here's what we need to know here is that, yes, we should be praying for great doors and great effective doors to open. So if you're watching, you're listening, and this is applicable to every one of us. So maybe you are listening and you own your own business, or you work in a business where in which you are praying and seeking the Lord on a promotion, an increase, an opportunity to rise up and to go up the ladder of success. Or maybe you are the head of the company. Maybe you own your own company and you're praying that God would expand your business. All we live in an environment where doors are shutting. People are laying, companies are laying employees off. They are shuttering their doors. There's a retail apocalypse. There's a restaurant apocalypse happening. We're living in the post-pandemic era. Many people, small businesses had to shut their doors. So this is it's kind of a claw and scratch your way to try to get back up to the top kind of environment that we've been in for a long time. But listen, I don't believe that the children of God, those who have a covenant with Him, come on, the Bible says, I was young and now I'm old, and I've yet to see the righteous forsaken nor his seed beg of bread. So I believe it's the will of God, 3 John 2, beloved above all things, that thou, I wish that thou may prosper, that you may prosper. The Bible says that the Lord finds pleasure, and the word of God says, let them shout for joy and let the Lord be magnified who finds pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. Deuteronomy 8:18 says, thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he who has given us the power to establish wealth. He's given us those resources. He's given us those talents. He's given us those gifts for us, again, to go out there and make a living for our family, to prosper in our families. And watch this. And as we prosper, we honor the Lord. We give back unto him. So I believe it is absolutely the will of God. That's just one opportunity. So again, that's a door. Maybe some of you guys have been praying for a door of employment, a door of promotion, a door of a business venture that you're seeking. Should I start that business? Should I plant that business? Should I shut this door and pray for a different door to open? Okay, then we could go in a different direction. We could say that there may be someone that's watching, listening, and you have been very sick in your health. You've been battling with infirmities. You've been battling with sicknesses, all kinds of things in your physical body, and you've been praying for a door of breakthrough to open. Come on, to get delivered of your infirmity. So watch this. As you're praying and as you're seeking, you're looking for that door to open. Okay. Then there might be someone that's watching this and listening to this. I'm going to use three examples today, guys. And we could probably name 12 examples, but I'm going to use three. Here's another example. Here you are. You are a parent. You're a grandparent. You have a son, a daughter, a grandson, a granddaughter, and you trained them up in a way in which they should go, but now they've went wayward. They've went prodigal. They're living in filthy, prodigal living. They're backslid. They're in drugs. They're in alcohol. They're in promiscuity. They're living in adultery. They're living in fornication. They're practicing the occult and New Age and witchcraft and all kinds of darkness and all kinds of nonsense. And you're praying and you're seeking and you're fasting and you're believing for an opportunity to present itself, a door to open for them to come to their senses, and that the darkness would lift from them, the strongholds would break from them, the shackles would snap off of them, and that they would come back unto the family of God. Now, these are three examples that I just named here. We talk about financial blessings, prosperity, employment, positions. We're talking about in the realm of here of economics, of finances. Then we talked about in our health. Then we talked about prodigals sons or daughters. These are just three examples. We could have went to marriages and we could have went to other different venues, but watch this. So here you are, and maybe you're watching and you're listening, and it's been seasons of, again, praying and fasting and believing. And now, watch this, and then finally, come on, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. So now here you are, and your due season has arrived. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. So that means, what does that mean? That means the promotion that you've been believing God for and praying for has now come. Your boss pulls you in. He tells you, we want to promote you. We want to give you an opportunity. We want to present a opportunity for you to take this position, and with it comes better pay, better benefits, better hours. Here it is. Boom. And it said, what is that? That's a great and effectual door has opened unto you. Then here you are. You've been praying and fasting and seeking to God for a breakthrough in your health. And all of a sudden it's you, the breakthrough comes. You begin to feel better. You start praising God. You start worshiping God, and you're glorifying God because you feel better. Well, praise God. Then here you are. You've been believing God for the prodigals, the sons, the daughters, and all of a sudden you get a phone call. It's from your daughter, your son, your grandfather, or your grandson, your granddaughter. You haven't spoken to them in months or years, and they call and they said, you've been on my heart. I just wanted to give you a call. Just want to let you know this and this and that. And you hang up the phone. You're in tears. You're glorifying God. You're praising God, and your everything is great. Now, as much as I'd like to just call it a night right there and we all rejoice, the chances are, watch this, what comes next, we're not told about. Many pulpits are silent when it comes to this. And that is what to expect, watch this, when the door has opened. Oh, come on, somebody. Everything I just preached right there was just a foundation to get you to the other side of the door. Because it's what's on the other side of the door. But Brother Ricky, you said the promotion came. You said the job came. You said the healing came. You said the prodigals made that phone call. Yes. But watch this. Here's what you got to remember. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul said, a great and effectual door has opened unto me to preach the gospel in Ephesus. But watch this. The next part is where I want to talk about for the next few moments. But with it, there are many adversaries. See, come on, somebody. There's something I need to tell you here. This is what I've learned in 24 years of serving the Lord. Once the door that you've been praying and believing God for opens and you begin to walk through that door, you better have your shield up, your sword ready. Come on, that helmet of salvation on, that breastplate of righteousness, those feet shodded with the gospel of peace. You better have that belt of truth around your loins. You better have on the full armor of God, according to Ephesians 6. Why? Because on the other side of that door is going to be much adversity. Why is there going to be much adversity, Brother Ricky? Because the enemy, nowhere in Scripture, friends, does the enemy ever just sit back and allow you to take that which you have believed God for. Oh, the promises of God are in him, yes and amen. But with it comes adversity. There are great doors of opportunity, but with it comes adversity. Oh, let me just preach it like this. Let me go back to the individual or individuals who they've been believing God for that job. They've been believing God for that promotion. They've been believing God to plant that business. Here, if I could pull them in this room right now, I guarantee you this is what they would testify. They would say, we were rejoicing and we were praising God because we got the job. We got the promotion. We launched the business. But then it was what happened next, a week later, a month later, 3 months later, within a period of time, shortly thereafter, it was like all hell broke loose. It was like everything and anything that could come against me was coming against me. Here I was believing God to get a job. I get a job. And then when I start going to the job and I start clocking in, going week after week after week, there are so many people there that are ugly. And I'm not talking about physical appearance either, even though we may work with some people that may be physically ugly. I'm just saying, but God loves them too. But I'm talking about they're verbally abusive. They got a mouth like a sailor, like a mechanic. They curse God. They don't want to hear anything to do with God. They ridicule. They mock you. That opportunity comes. The job comes. But then it's wearing you out. You're doing twice as much labor. It's like everything and anything that can happen is happening. Come on, somebody. You get the promotion that you've been believing God for, and now you've been praising God. But now that you're in the seat of the position of the promotion, little did you know that now everybody that used to love you and praise you at your work now envies you and hates you and despises you and gossips about you and slanders you. They won't sit with you at lunch anymore because now they think that you're better than them. Oh, come on, somebody. I'm going to be knocking on your door and your address in this podcast. Come on, somebody. And then you launched your business and everything was going great. But then all of a sudden a pandemic hit. And the state forces you to shut the doors or you'll be locked up and go to jail. Come on. You launch your business and something goofy happens that has never happened to any business on that block. What am I talking about? I'm talking about adversity. Come on. You've been believing God to get healed in your body. And all of a sudden, here you are. You start feeling better. But then, watch this. Then three people in your family come down with an incurable disease. So you can't even celebrate and rejoice over the healing God gave you because you have so much sorrow in your heart because it's almost like God blessed you healing your body. But now three of the closest people in your family is now coming down with an incurable disease. And now why? Adversity. Because watch this, with the same faith that we use to get ourselves healed, now you know what God's doing? He's going to see if we're going to put that faith in action to believe for other people to get healed. Oh, listen, you don't want me to really preach this. I remember one time when I would get up here and I would talk about how God wants to heal you and I believe it's God's will to heal you and this and that. And then I came down and got sick and this and that. And the Lord spoke to me and said, you don't really think that you're going to get up there on a public forum and a platform and speak to how many people and tell them that it's God's will for them to be healed and quote all these scriptures. And then you not have to walk it out yourself, do you? And listen, this is what I've learned in many years. God can heal supernaturally, but you know what I've learned? That a lot of times he puts the tools in your tool belt. He puts the tools in your hands. I've learned that somebody don't want to hear this. I've learned that many of the illnesses and infirmities and sicknesses and things that I have gotten over the years has been my own demise. It's been through diet, lack of exercise, and a neglect in certain areas. But once I changed my diet, once I started exercising more, it's amazing. All of a sudden, you feel better. You don't have this. You don't have that. That goes away. That goes into remission. Come on, somebody. I'm talking about adversity. Here you are. You're rejoicing and praising God that the prodigal sons and daughters that you've been believing and praying God for months and for years, you finally get a phone call from one of them and no sooner than you hang up that phone after rejoicing that you finally heard from them. And now they told you on the phone, they're going to come for Thanksgiving dinner. And you're like, here it comes. Praise God. He's answered my prayers. And then the night before Thanksgiving, you get a phone call from the local jail. And they're calling to tell you that your son or your daughter's been drinking and driving and they've been arrested for drug possession. And now they're in jail and they need you to bail them out. So now here you are bewildered and And you're like, wait a minute, God, I thought I had the breakthrough. I thought I had the door open of opportunity. You did, but with it comes much adversity. Oh, you say, well, Brother Ricky, this doesn't sound like good news. Listen, the good news is, watch this. Yes, God wants to prosper you and bless you and give you that job and give you that promotion. And he wants you to launch that business. But you also have to be wise. Come on. You have to be not ignorant of Satan's devices. Come on. You got to go into this thing knowing and expecting adversity. The children of Israel were warned. Listen, the promised land awaits you, but you need to know that there is giants, there is walled cities, there is ites waiting for you on the other side. But are you going to be like the majority that's going to cower away and say, well, you know, if I've got all that waiting for me, then you know what? I'll just remain over here. It's the same group of people that when the heat got turned up a little bit, they began to murmur and complain and say, you know what? It'd been better if we stayed in Egypt with the leeks and the onions and the garlics, even though we were in captivity and bondage and crying out night and day. At least we were familiar with what we were in bondage to. Y'all, you'd be shocked how many people don't really want deliverance because they are in love with familiarity. How do you want me to go with this? Listen, people, it's a fact that many women that are in abusive relationships, you deliver them out of one abusive relationship and they'll go and consequently find somebody else just like the relationship they got out of, or they will go right back to the relationship that you pulled them out of. Why? Because they were comfort in their familiarity. It was painful. It was abusive, but it was the routine. It was regular. And what happens is the enemy has convinced them that they're worthless. They have no self-esteem. They think this is the best it's ever going to get. But I've come by to tell you today that the devil is a liar. And watch this. Yes, there's going to be adversity on the other end of the door, but it doesn't mean you don't walk through the door. It just means, come on, somebody, that you go through the door and you are prepared to contend with the adversities that's met on the other door. Now, let me go back here. I want to show you this. I want to show you this with the Apostle Paul. Have you ever heard of, let me just take you to this verse. This is a very familiar passage right here. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, all right? Look what it says here. Now, remember, 2 Corinthians 12, the Apostle Paul talks about how he said, in the flesh, I don't know, or in the body or out of the body, I don't know, but I knew a man, and he's speaking of himself, by the way, that was caught up into the third heaven, and he saw paradise. And John says in the book of Revelation, paradise is in heaven under the throne room of God. Okay? So Paul went there and saw this place. He comes back, and he said, I was not even permitted to speak about the things in which I saw. Okay. And now watch this. And then you get to verse 7. And he says, and lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations. What's he talking about? Paul had seven revelations that was given to him by the Lord that no prophet in the Old Testament, no apostle in the New Testament had ever received. Paul was the only one that received seven mysteries that was given to him. Okay? And he says, lest I should be exalted above measure by these revelations. Quote, look what it says here. A thorn in the flesh was given to me. Now, stop right there. I've heard so many people say, well, the thorn in the flesh was a physical ailment. He was blind. He couldn't walk. He had, you know, this, that. But what's interesting is they never go on with the rest of it. They just stop right there. Well, Paul had a thorn in the flesh, and therefore it was a physical infirmity. That's where they hang their hat. But there's a comma, guys. Read it on. It says, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. And concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. Now, when you start studying the life of Paul, can I propose? Now, this may just completely shock you. But I'm going to throw a different angle here. I propose to you the thorn in the flesh was not a physical ailment. What if the thorn in the flesh, watch this, was when you study scripture, look at this. Let's pull this up right here. This is about the Apostle Paul. And now this is in the book of 2 Corinthians 11. Look what he says, verse 22. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they the ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. Now look what he says here. This is his resume. Ready? In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. The guy was literally stoned to death in the city of Lystra, and the saints had to gather around him, anoint him with oil, and pray over him and God raised him from the dead. This is why scholars say this is why he had that out of body experience. He literally had a NDE or a near death experience. What we would call and define that is because his spirit came out of his body because he was stoned to death and they raised him from the dead. All right. From the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes minus one. This is a scourging. This is similar to what Jesus took at the Roman scourging, 39 minus one, or excuse me, 40 minus one, which is again, 39 stripes. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. And three times, look at this, I was shipwrecked. A night and day, I've been in the deep and journeys often, perils of waters, perils of robbers, perils of my own countrymen, and perils of the Gentiles, and perils of the city, and perils in the wilderness, perils in the sea, and perils among false brethren, and weariness and toil, sleeplessness often, hunger, thirst, fastings often, and cold and nakedness. Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily? My deep concern for all the churches, who is weak and I am not weak, who is made to stumble and I do not burn, with indignation. Guys, listen to that. This man, again, everybody likes, wow, Brother Ricky, I would love to have these deep revelations from God. Okay, you want those deep revelations with God and from God, then you better expect much adversity. You want ministry doors to open, do you? Okay. Well, you ready for perils of men? Are you ready for lies, slander, gossip, defamation? Are you ready for all that stuff? Because it's coming with it. People don't realize. People think, well, if I can just, I'm going to start my own ministry and I'm going to reach the world. And they think that just because you got a platform, And you've got a microphone, a platform, and a camera, and some lights, doesn't mean you're reaching the world, and it doesn't mean you're impacting anybody for the kingdom either. Because I'd like to sit down and talk to some of these people that has these massive followings, and they've become like these, almost like these Christian superstars. But then I'd like to ask them, well, let me ask you this: have you had any adversity? Have you had lies? Have you been lied on, defamed, gossiped about, slandered, attacked? Come on, false accusations, and the list goes on. And if they say no, if their life is just like a Hollywood movie star, a superstar, and they're never going through in any type of adversity, then that's a huge red flag, friend. That tells me that they are not doing anything for the kingdom, because I'm telling you, men and women of God who are out there on the front lines and are actually shaking the kingdom of hell, come on, and as a wrecking ball for the kingdom of heaven, they will suffer much adversity. And Paul is saying here, this is what I'm going to go back to. When he says the thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, when you read the life of the Apostle Paul, all of his adversity came from men who opposed the gospel. Okay, I'm pausing there for a second to let that soak in for a minute. Go read it. Read all of the, there's 14 epistles that the Apostle Paul wrote. Go read them. And when he taught, he was led down in a basket in one city, and then all of these other things because of the persecution that came against him. It was always men that rose up against him. What do you think happened in Ephesus? This is this great and effectual door that's open for Paul to go into Ephesus. You think they laid out the welcome mat for him? This place was a center of all kinds of false deities and false gods and worship of idols. And when he started, when Paul goes in there and starts preaching Jesus Christ, and he is the only way, truth, and the life, read what happened to him. Go to the book of Acts. Read about the adversity that came. So yes, a great opportunity opened to Paul. But again, in Paul's case, Satan actually sent an angel. This is mind blowing. An angel to buffet him. And I believe this angel went before Paul every city that he went into. I believe this angel was going and stirring up trouble everywhere he went, stirring up the men of the city, stirring up the governors, stirring up the leaders, stirring up the religious leaders. And this is who came out, and they always opposed him. They tried to stone him for dead. They whipped him. They beat him with rods. They threw him overboard. They tried to drown him. He'd get on a ship, and this thing would be broken apart and almost sink. It's like everywhere he reaches into a fire, and a snake comes out and bites him. And again, isn't it interesting? Let's use that for example. Here's an island that God supernaturally brings him through on the other side, only for him to get onto the island. Great opportunity, right? This is a great and effectual door to preach the gospel there. But what is he met with? A viper comes out of the fire and bites him. So guys, this is where I want to close with this. I said all this tonight I want you to get this in your mind. I don't want you to stop praying for a great door and a great and effectual door to open to you in the areas of, at least, you know, these are three areas that we talked about. You know, if whatever you're believing God for, that door to open, we're not saying that don't pray for that to open, but don't be ignorant of Satan's devices. Satan is not going to take it lying down. He's not going to let you just keep getting blessed, keep prospering, keep getting healed, keep getting delivered, keep getting set free, keep preaching the gospel, keep witnessing, keep letting your light so shine among men. The more sphere of influence that you have and the more people that you impact for the kingdom, the greater threat assessment you are to the kingdom of hell, which means there's going to be greater adversity against you and what you're praying about. Are you hearing what I'm saying tonight? So listen, let me give you one example. For our ministry, many of you guys have heard this. Right before the greatest financial blessing that ever came to our ministry, listen to me, right before it happened, I had two personal attacks that come against me. One was against my flesh, and the other was against my ministry itself. And both of these things, watch this, I had to give it to the Lord. The battle's not mine, but it belongs to the Lord. I remember we had a frivolous lawsuit that came against our ministry, and it was absolutely stupid. It was the dumbest thing I ever saw. And this thing it was starting to get a little ugly and nasty, and I was starting to, and truth be told, that's probably what led to the infirmity. What led to the stress, which caused all the infirmity to come. So I remember one day I just got fed up with it. And I said, you know what, devil, I'm not losing another night of sleep over this. I'm not going to miss another meal because I'm so stressed out that I can't eat. I'm not going to let this get to me. So you know what I did? I put on my walking shoes. I put on my headphones and I went and got on a treadmill and I went for a walk and I put on some worship music. And here I am walking on a treadmill and just worshiping the Lord, tears flowing down my face while I got my hands up in the air while I'm walking, worshiping the Lord, saying, Lord, I just thank you that the battle is not mine, but it belongs to the Lord. And you've got this and you're going to take care of this. Little did I know, Are you hearing me? Watch this. Little did I know that on the other side of all that nonsense was going to be one of the greatest doors that would ever open. To this date, it has been the greatest door of financial blessing to us because we have been praying for a specific amount for God to release us of this debt so that we can transition from Indiana to Georgia. And on the other side of all that nonsense that the devil stirred up, because he knew ahead of time, I didn't even see that. I didn't even see that door coming, but we were praying for it. We were specific in the amount that we were praying for. But God heard that. But you know who else heard that? Satan. And he tried to oppose it. So here I am giving it to the Lord. And then on the other end of that, and about 2 weeks later, boom, that door of opportunity came. That great blessing came. And you know what? Let me give you the end of the story. Not only did God bless us with the amount that we were praying God for, but he also worked it out with that frivolous lawsuit. We didn't have to pay a dime out of it. God worked it out. God moved on that behalf. Also, again, and then shortly after that, God delivered me of that infirmity as well. So I come by to tell you today, or somebody that may be listening, either, watch this, two different camps of people here. Either one, you've been praying for a great and effectual door to open, and the door has opened. And now you don't understand because the thing that you've been praying for and believing for is here, but with it comes all the adversity. And you're like, oh, I don't understand, Brother Ricky. I've been praying for this. I believe for the Lord. It's here, but now all hell's breaking loose. Well, I just told you why. We just told you why. Then the other group here, watch this. You may already be getting the adversity. It's already at your doorstep. It's already up in your family. It's all up in your business. The attacks are coming physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, financially, your marriage, all these. It's like one thing after another after another. It is very possible that this is all opposing adversity to keep you from continuing to believe for that door to open. And the enemy, who somehow he has some foreknowledge. He's not omnipotent and all-knowing like God. But come on, demons have ears. They can hear in the spiritual realms. I don't have time to go through all that to explain it. Daniel talks about that. Daniel prayed on the first day, but it took 21 days for him to get his door of opportunity to open in his breakthrough because there was adversity for it and there was a battle in heaven for him to get that blessing and that answer to prayer. So that, I believe there's a second group here. I believe that there's also individuals who's watching and listening and all hell's breaking loose against you. And it's because the enemy doesn't want you to receive that open door that you're about to walk in. So this, guys, there's no way I can discern which camp you're in. You have to be the one to discern that. So I don't know. You know, this, I believe this is for somebody that's watching, listening today. And I got this word today from our 2 p.m. Eastern podcast. I started going into that and I went into that verse of a great and effectual door. And it was like, I felt like, okay, Lord, this is what I'm supposed to talk about tonight. So if this is you, you're watching, you're listening, you're in this camp or you're in this camp. Come on, I want to pray. We're going to pray with you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I've delivered this word. I pray, Lord, I know based upon your word that your word will not return void, but it will go forth and it will prosper in that which is sent forth in Jesus' name, and it will not return void. So, Lord, I thank you that this word is going to go forth. It's going to bear fruit. For those that are watching, listening, Lord, that the breakthroughs come, the door has opened, the blessings are coming in, the blessings has been awaiting them. They have prayed for this. They believe for this. They have fasted for this. And now it has come. That door is open. That opportunity has presented itself. That blessing's there. That breakthrough's there. That deliverance is there. That healing's there. That provision's there. But with it comes much adversity. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would strengthen them, that you would give them faith, give them resolve. Lord, may they armor up and may they contend for their promises. Don't let the giants run them out of the land. Don't Don't let the walled cities intimidate them, and don't let the ites overtake them. May they slay the giant, cut off the head of that giant. May they, if they have to, may they march around their living room seven times and shout and watch God pull the walled cities down in Jesus' name. And may you take your sword of the Spirit and smite the ites in Jesus' name. And if you're watching and you're listening and you're going through, it's almost like everything's coming against you. People are lying on you. People are slandering on you. People are defaming you. People are turning their backs on you. It's almost like you get over one sickness, but then you get another infirmity. You get a bad report over here. Something's going on with your marriage. Your kids are falling apart over here. Could it be possible, if you feel in your spirit that breakthrough is right on the other side, that door is right on the other side? Come on, I challenge you today and encourage you today to press in, press forward, and go through until that door opens in Jesus' name. And know that it is God who opens doors and God who shuts doors. And if God is opening a door for you, friend, then come on, I got a word for you, and that is that the Lord shall go before you and prepare the way for you. And if he be for you, who is he who can be against you? You got to remember that, guys. The battle is not yours. It belongs unto the Lord. So be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not, in Jesus' name. Come on, everybody said amen and amen. Listen, guys, if you love content like this, if this has been of any value to you, it's a beneficial to you, it's a blessing to you, again, please help us out. Hit that like button, hit that share button, hit that subscribe button, hit that bell notification. Take it a step further, guys. Download our free app and get it today on Apple and Spotify. When you download it, hit yes to push notifications, and you're going to get podcasts just like this come right at your fingertips. Every prophecy viewpoint that we do at 2 p.m. Eastern, you'll get those. You'll get every headline. Everything will be right at your fingertips. And of course, we want to give an opportunity, guys. We don't sell any merchandise. We don't sell. Our app is free. We have no subscription fees. Everything is free. We just ask that you pray about becoming a monthly partner. It is through your generous support that we're able to do what we do on a week-to-week basis. And you can help us out if by praying about becoming a monthly partner. You can do that two different ways: electronically or through a check or money order. And you can do that. If you wish to do that, you can give right there on the screen to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. So guys, we're going to sign off for tonight. We may be here. We'll probably be off tomorrow, which is Saturday. We take a Sabbath day's rest there and then come back on Sunday. We may do a Sunday 2 o'clock Eastern broadcast, or maybe a little bit later on Sundays, because we typically go to church ourselves here locally into the house of God. And if that's the case, it'll be 4 or 5, or we'll announce it. Either way, we hope to talk to you guys this weekend. If not, don't forget Monday night, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, right here on YouTube, our Monday night prayer meeting. We hope to see you there as well. So until then, I pray the Lord bless you, may keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.